How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed? Princeton Theological Seminary singers with the hymn, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord. It's a hymn that speaks of the cross that Jesus bore for us. Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 14 that to follow him to the cross is first to count the cost. He talks about the cost of being his disciple, a cost that ultimately he bears on our behalf, but he calls us to count it nonetheless. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, looking at those words of Jesus in Luke chapter 14 and the propers that surround them for the coming Sunday. Dr. Carl Fakencher joins us. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to kick it off with the gospel reading here, where Jesus tells his disciples to count the cost of following him. What do we find there in this cost of discipleship?
Yeah, what I'd like to do, Todd, is just take that the basic point that Jesus makes in the gospel lesson and give my theme right up front this time. We can come back and look at the gospel in detail a little bit later, but to begin, it is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, where Jesus talks about counting the cost of being a disciple, and he'll give us some examples that we'll look at a little bit later. But I would like to look at all of our propers today from that perspective. Here's my theme, just right up front. I'll lay it out there, and we'll look at it. Take along, sometimes hard, sometimes delightful, always blessed, look at discipleship. Take along, sometimes hard, sometimes delightful, always blessed, look at discipleship. In our gospel reading a little bit later on, Jesus will have us do that, but actually, all the way through our propers today, we're going to be doing just that, just looking at what goes on here when we talk about following Jesus, and of course, we'll find that sometimes it's a tough thing to do, sometimes a very, very hard thing to swallow over. Sometimes we'll see great joy, great delight. The psalmist is celebrating it in our psalm today. But even when it's tough, as well as when it's delightful, we realize that following Jesus, being disciples of Jesus, really is always blessed. So those elements will come out all the way through. And again, when we get to the gospel reading, Jesus will give us the most pointed examples of all.
So let's look at the introit for this coming Sunday. Where do we locate it?
Okay, the intro at the entrance psalm comes from Psalm 119. It's not a coincidence that we look at Psalm 119 rather frequently because, of course, it is that very, very lengthy psalm, the longest of the psalms, longer than any other chapter in the Bible. And the Psalm 119 is known as one of the Torah psalms. We've made that point before. The Torah is talking about the Word of God. It focuses on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, but that really is expressed as epitome of all of God's word to his people. And as we look through Psalm 119 and the other Torah psalms like it, we always see a great delight in being into God's word. And that's going to be an important part of this long look that we're taking at discipleship. Psalm 118, verse 27, and then continuing with verses 28 through 32. Here's some of those expressions of the delight in God's word. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your decree before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning, the psalmist, it gives us that exhortation to take this long look at discipleship. He prays this. He says, make me understand. In other words, let me clearly see what this is out before me. Let me have a good, clear look at this. Let me know what this is going to be like. Make me understand, he says, the way of your precepts. Several times here through the intro in Psalm 119, verses 27 through 32, the psalmist uses this expression of the way or false ways. Make me understand the way of your precepts, or later on, put false ways far from me. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I will run in the way of your commandments. The way here is an expression of discipleship, following in the way, the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Let's take a good long look at what it means to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus, as opposed to those false ways, those other ways that we could look. There's going to be the tough aspect of following in the way of the Lord, the way of his precept. My soul melts away from sorrow. It's not going to be easy. When we take that long look at discipleship, sometimes it's going to be a hard look. We're going to swallow very hard. It's going to be prospects that don't delight us at all. My soul melts away for sorrow, but then strengthen me according to your word. And notice how, as is typical of these Torah psalms, the psalmist speaks of God's word so many ways, so delightfully. He's already said the way of your precepts. Now he says, according to your word, graciously teach me your law, he says. I set your just decrees before me. I cling to your testimonies. I will run in the way of your commandments. In other words, when we take this long look at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, sometimes, yes, it's going to be a long, hard look, one that's going to hurt. But the way that we're going to find to be delightful is the way that is in God's word, in his precepts, his word, his law, his decrees, his testimonies, his commandments. And remember, we've talked before, Todd, about this, again, in these Torah psalms, when words that to us as Lutherans may sound simply like law, your commandments, your just decrees, your laws, that may seem to us as saying, do it and be happy about it. Just do it and smile, you know, as if we're simply commanded to do these things against our will and told to buck up and just it's the right thing to do, so do it. That really misses the point of the Torah Psalms altogether, because the psalmist is always speaking of the Torah as all of that wonderful word of God, which includes what we would call law and what we would call gospel. And the point of what comes out of this is that when we are in God's word, as in believing, receiving the gospel of what Yahweh has done for us in sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior, then also the things that God commands are truly our delight. God never gives us a commandment that is something really distasteful or something which is really evil or something which is really unpleasant. Although the unbeliever in us rebels against God's law, God's commandments, and always thinks that God is trying to restrict me, trying to take away my fun, the believer in me realizes that being faithful in marriage, eager in worship, loving our neighbor, caring for others, the believer in us knows that this is not only what God commands us to do, But it truly is the delightful thing to do. It is what the believer in us really loves doing. So already here in the intro, we've got this magnificent contrast between false ways and sorrow that may be a part of being a follower of Jesus, with nevertheless the delight that comes with being in his way, being a disciple, a follower of Jesus.
The collect actually quotes from Romans 8:32.
Yes, and here we have words that definitely may strike us as being hard words. When we talk about taking this long look at discipleship, sometimes it's going to be a hard word, and we're not spared that here. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son. St. Paul makes that point in Romans. You did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Following him, that's discipleship, following Jesus. But following Jesus is not a bed of roses. It is what the believer in us delights to do. The believer in us knows that this is the blessed thing to do and really is very pleased to do it, but taking up the cross is nevertheless something that is not easy to hear. Taking up the cross means suffering as Jesus himself suffered. We've been delivered from the greatest suffering. We will not suffer the punishments of hell that Jesus experienced for us, but we will, as Jesus was, be rejected by the world, be hated by the world, be nailed to crosses of our own, whatever those might be. And the fact of the matter is, this is suffering that does not excite us. It's not something that we do with a smile on our face, as going to a ball game or hang out with friends. This is the hard look that we're taking at discipleship. But even the hard look is blessed, because being in Christ and sharing in his suffering ultimately has the eternal joys that really will be delightful in every way.
Dr. Carl Fulkencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning according to the 3-year lectionary. When we come back, we'll look at the psalm for the day, Psalm 1.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church of Chehalis, Washington. Biblical, historic Christianity, whose source is Scripture, whose heart is the Gospel. If you're in Southwest Washington, join us for the divine service. You will receive Jesus, crucified and risen again for the forgiveness of your sins. We promise. For more information, call us at 360-748-4108.
How has Pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed? stanza two of the hymn, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Dr. Fikencher, the next proper we're going to look at is the psalm for this coming Sunday, and that would be Psalm 1.
Psalm 1 also makes reference to delighting in the Lord and the law of the Lord. I'll read it through, and again, we hear the true delight that comes with being in him. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This psalm is well placed as Psalm 1, because it really is it's very picturesque. This could be an hour that we would spend just on one text alone. It has so many elements that are delightful, but it certainly does have the elements of our theme today, discipleship or the other way, following after Yahweh or going the other way, the way of the wicked, the way of sinners. It certainly calls us to consider carefully, take a good long look at the way discipleship works, and it reminds us of how truly delightful this can be. Blessed is the man who, and listen to the progression here, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. It's a picture of a man who would be on the outside of a council of the wicked, but then come and stand there among them a little bit closer, and finally give himself over to sitting right down there in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man who doesn't do that, not that at all. That would be the other way, the way that was referred to in our intro. It is one of those false ways. It is not the way of discipleship, not walking after Jesus, but going a totally different direction. But rather, blessed is the man who doesn't do those things, but whose delight. And there's that wonderful word that really does express the way the believer in us sees this call to discipleship. Even though we know it's sometimes hard, it's still a delight. Why? Because we get to be in the law, again, that's the Torah, in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his Torah, meditate day and night. Same things we said a moment ago about the joy of being in God's word, law and gospel, where by knowing what God has done for us in Christ, we also delight in doing the things that he commands us to do. And see the way the believer is. He's like a tree planted, yields fruit, doesn't wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Notice the stability, the security that is being pictured there. Whereas the flip side, the wicked are not so. They're not stable, they're not secure. They're transient, they're insecure. Like chaff that the wind drives away. They won't stand in judgment at all. They'll fall over. Ultimately, they will perish. This is the magnificent look that we have when we see discipleship, both from the standpoint of the delight being in the Lord's law, and then also the other standpoint of going the other direction. Discipleship is sometimes hard, but it is always blessed.
The Old Testament reading, Dr. Fikencher, is a classic from Deuteronomy 30, near the end of that book, and Moses is laying out the literal life and death choice the people are faced with.
Again, our theme this time, take a long look. Some of it's a hard look, some of it's a delightful look, but always blessed at discipleship, and that's exactly what the Lord is doing through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Remember, Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, that's where the name comes from, is when Moses is speaking to the younger generation, those who came out of Egypt as very, very young people. Now, after 40 years of wandering, they are the adult generation, and Moses is recounting for them the things that have gone before, which is a very important part of this, taking a long look at discipleship, and then lays out what is ahead. I'll read it, and you'll hear that kind of contrast going on. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Moses even starts off by saying, see, in other words, look, take this long look at what stands before you, and here it is, I've set it out for you, life and good, death and evil. There it is. You can see it very clearly. And it's really very straightforward. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, the commandments he's giving you today, to love him, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, statutes, rules, then you will be blessed. God will bless you in the land that you're entering. See what's involved in discipleship. Of course, there's obedience, yes, and we may think the word obedience is one of those downer words again, like last week when we talked about submitting, but the fact of the matter is the believer in us realizes that it is delightful to walk in God's way. This is something that we love to do, and certainly walking in this way of obedience is blessed. But there's that other way again. The intro would refer to it as the false way, the way that's not the way of discipleship. If your heart turns away, you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, then you will perish. Then there will be curses upon you, a disaster. The other way is often the easy way, quite frankly. The other way, the false way, is often giving in to temptation, but then Moses says, being drawn away, your heart turns away, being drawn away from the Lord. It may be easy, but that way is cursed. God's way, the Lord's way, that way of obedience, isn't always easy. To obey the commandments of the Lord involves struggling against temptation, not giving in to sin, not taking the way of the flesh that seems so attractive, but that way is blessed. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Take a good long look at this and see how much more wonderful it is going to be, even when it's hard, even when it requires struggling against sin, even when it requires rejection by the sinful world. But see how magnificent it is to be blessed in following the Lord's way as opposed to going the easy way, the other way, the false way, the way that is not a way of discipleship. Look at that and then choose life.
The epistle reading is next on the other side of the break. It'll be the book of Philemon. It's just a little tiny book there. We'll talk about that with Dr. Carl Fekencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more about studying for the vocation of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's the epistle reading on the other side of the break. We're working toward that gospel reading in Luke chapter 14, the theme, the cost of discipleship. Stay tuned.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
You're invited to a special service commemorating the 160th anniversary of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. It's a Vespers service beginning at 4 on Saturday afternoon, September the 10th. I have the honor of preaching for this anniversary celebration. Worship in one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in Greater St. Louis, Saturday, September the 10th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel. If you want to stay for dinner, RSVP 618-633-2209.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
The hymn, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord, the Third Stanza. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. The next proper we need to look at here, Dr. Fekencher, is Philemon, the first 21 verses, which comprises almost the entire book of this short New Testament book.
Yes, it is. Philemon verses 1 through 21, and I remember in my Greek class when I was just beginning at the seminary, and we were asked to translate something like Philemon 1 through 8, I raised my hand and said, is that chapter 1, 1 through 8, or what chapter is that, Dr. Vels? And I was reminded by my neighbor sitting around me, there is only one chapter. Oh, yeah, okay. So this is Philemon verses 1 through 21. There are only 25 verses in the entire book, only one chapter. And interestingly, while it is a unique one, it is a standalone book in some interesting ways, it does have some significant connections to our theme today, taking this long look at discipleship. I'll read through. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Paul has begun this letter to this man, Philemon, a fellow believer, in a way that seems delightful, friendly, greeting one and all, thanking God for him. But here in verse 6, he has a very interesting clue as to where he's ultimately going. And it really is on the point that we're making for all the propers. He says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. What Paul is saying here is, Philemon, my friend, I want you to come and see and understand this full knowledge. I want you to come and see and understand everything that following Christ actually entails. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Philemon, I want you to consider all the ramifications of discipleship, of following Christ. And this is a huge hint as to where Paul is going for the rest of the letter, because he has a very definite agenda of what this following Christ entails. Verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, therefore, okay, because of that, here's where we're going. Though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, a requirement of discipleship, something that a disciple simply must do, yet, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you rather than tell you what you got to do because you're a disciple, and there are things you must do because you're a disciple. I want you to consider what this is and see that as a disciple, it's what you really want to do. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. By the way, Onesimus means is a term that means useful. So formerly, this man Onesimus was your slave and really useless to you. Now he's become very useful to me, but also to you. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. People who know the story behind this book, this letter to Philemon, probably realize that Onesimus was a slave who belonged to Philemon, but ran away, had become acquainted with St. Paul, and as a result of that had become a believer in Christ Jesus through St. Paul. Philemon, meanwhile, was also a believer that Paul had brought to faith. And now that slave who had formerly belonged to Philemon has fled, has been with Paul for some time, and now Paul is sending him back. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. This is one of the letters that Paul wrote from prison. And boy, did he appreciate having a companion there. And Onesimus was very useful as that kind of encouragement, that kind of companion. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Not just something you have to do because you're a disciple of Christ, but something you really wish to do because it's simply what a disciple wants to do. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. For if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. This is a great verse here, verse 18. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. We'll come right back to that. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me your own self. Paul had brought Philemon to faith. Philemon's salvation was because Paul had brought the gospel to him. Yes, brother, I want some benefit. There's that usefulness again, that Onesimus, that usefulness. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. You take a good long look at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and you say, the things I could have claimed by right, like, for example, this slave to continue to be my property, no, I receive him back now as more than a slave, but rather as a brother in Christ. That's what I do as a disciple. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I realize that it's not about me, what I can hold on to for myself, for I have already been given all things in Christ. And back to that verse I referred to before, verse 18, this is a beautiful picture of that. Paul says again to Philemon, if he, Onesimus, has wronged you, Philemon, at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. St. Paul knew who he was modeling as he made that statement. He knew that he, Paul, Philemon, Onesimus, and all of us had wronged God, sinned against God in every way, constantly, fled from him as a runaway slave, rebelled against him, disrespected him, but all of that Jesus had charged to his own account. All of our wrongs that we owed to God, Jesus had taken upon himself and paid back. Paul realized when he brought up these words to Philemon that Philemon would make the connection. Yeah, you know, by the legal system of our day, Onesimus still is my property. Legally, I have a claim over him, but really, I have no claim at all over anyone. I only owe to God, and I have nothing I can offer in return. But Christ Jesus has paid the price for me, set me free. How can I not now, as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, eagerly also receive Onesimus back, no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ? It's really a magnificent text that expresses what we see when we take that long look at discipleship. This is the way the believer in Christ sees his relationship with other people. He sees himself and all others as fellow redeemed. And that's a totally different approach to any kind of interpersonal relationships or property than if we're not followers, disciples of Jesus.
Dr. Carlson Kencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break, live this Monday afternoon, August the 29th. We'll be looking at the gospel reading, Luke 14.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Conservative versus radical. Two extremes which offer us a window into considering the future of Lutheranism as well.
Dr. Larry Rast speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For there is a place for the confessional witness Lutherans have to offer in the places in which we find ourselves today. But that witness will only be faithful if it conserves the insights of the Reformation. And that conservation, I believe, is needed today more than ever.
You can listen to Dr. Rath's presentation, Making the Case for the Conservative Reformation, and teachings by Chris Roseborough, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorr-Hines, Brian Wolfmiller, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Final stanza of the hymn, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. At long last we come, Dr. Fakencher, to the gospel reading, Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25, and really the heart of the theme of the cost of discipleship.
What Jesus says in our gospel reading is what has given us the theme all the way through. The entire discussion we've been continuing here has been based on Jesus' call to count the cost, to take a long look at this idea of discipleship. And sometimes it's a hard look, but always blessed. Luke chapter 14, beginning verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Those last words of Jesus definitely call us to this long look. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Take a long look, or in this case, a long listen at what all of this means. Those words of Jesus are always that kind of wake up, pay attention, give this one a lot of good consideration. That's what Jesus has been saying all the way through here, and that, of course, is the point that he's making from the very beginning. Counting the cost. Being a disciple of Jesus is not always fun and games. Take a long look, and sometimes it's going to be a hard look at discipleship. Very hard. Like, if anyone does not come to me, anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even his own life, can't be my disciple at all. Now that's a very hard look at being a disciple. But then, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's an even harder look. Bearing his own cross. We know what Jesus' death on the cross entailed, the ultimate agony, not only the physical pain, the most excruciating kind of suffering that a wicked empire could invent, but also bearing the suffering for the sins of the whole world upon himself. His heavenly Father even turning his back, withdrawing his protection so the devil had free rein, had a clear open shot at Jesus, and Jesus God himself did not use his power to protect himself, but laid himself open to suffer the punishment of the sins of the whole world, suffer hell on our behalf. We won't suffer that, but we certainly are called upon to bear crosses, and certainly one of the crosses may be when there are conflicts in our families, if father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters would come between us and the Lord. We have to be willing to turn aside from those who are so dear and so precious to us. If holding on to our lives, say, for example, in the face of martyrdom, comes between us and Christ, we must be willing to give up our lives, as so many in the first century, the first several centuries, and even yet in the 21st century have continued to do. We cannot be Christ's disciple. And then Jesus' examples of this are really very good. You're going to build a tower. Many of us have been involved in all kinds of building projects. If we were the pastor of a congregation that was adding on to the sanctuary, or we're building a new house, or whatever it might be, you don't just start throwing up framing or just start pouring concrete. You know, you figure out what's the estimate, how much is the thing going to cost. I remember very well a home that was near my parents' house down near Austin, Texas. It was referred to by the neighbors as the big house. But the fact of the matter is the big house didn't get finished because the guy ran out of money. And it stood there unfinished for a number of years until someone finally took over the project. And the truth of the matter is that gent, I start to say a poor gent, he was not a poor gent. He started off quite wealthy, and then reverses made him unable to finish. He was kind of a laughingstock. The fact that he had such big plans, such big ambitions, and there was the monument to his foolishness sitting there unfinished. Jesus says that's the way it is if you start to build a tower and don't count the cost. Or a king going to war. If you've got 10,000 troops and you hear the other guy's coming with 20,000, you got to take a good, hard, long look at that. Can I, with 10,000, defeat the king coming against me with 20,000? If not, I better call things off right away, go out and get some terms of peace and see how we can settle this thing off the battlefield. Jesus knows that this is the way it is. And so, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. As disciples, we are called to be salt, salt to the earth. We are called to be influences for God's kingdom, witnesses to Christ Jesus. But if we're not prepared to remain salty, if the salt has lost its taste, if we who bear the name of Christ cease to live as disciples of Christ, what are we good for? Well, nothing. We're going to be thrown away. Jesus, in our gospel reading, is telling us to take a long look at discipleship, and sometimes it's a very hard look. At other times, we see those magnificent pictures that the psalmist gives us, where we delight in being about the Torah. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. What a beautiful thing that is. Or in Deuteronomy, choose life, because as we are disciples of the Lord, we'll be blessed, multiply in the land that God is giving us. Sometimes, to take that long look at discipleship, it's a very hard look. Sometimes it's a delightful look. But always, whether the day is tough, whether we're facing persecution, whether we're carrying heavy crosses, or whether the day is a real joy, always being disciples of Jesus is blessed. Our verse this week comes from Galatians chapter 6. That's a little bit unique because it's not from the gospel reading or from one of the other propers, but it certainly picks up this idea. The verse this week, Alleluia, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Alleluia. To be carrying the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be crucified to the world, we recognize how hard that is. That's a tough, hard look. But St. Paul says, remarkably, even as tough, as hard as that is, as much as we suffer rejection at the hands of the world, that's the one thing in which we can boast, that we are blessed as we are disciples of Christ, even when it's really, really tough, really hard.
Let's talk a little bit about the hymn that is appointed for this day, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord.
Yeah, it's a nice place to finish in our discussion, and certainly something that, as we sing it on Sunday, we can see these things reflected. The hymn begins, How clear is our vocation, Lord? In other words, what a good, long, hard look we get at this calling that we have. Let's see it clearly. Let's take that long look, and by golly, as Deuteronomy lays it before us, as Christ lays it before us, we certainly get a clear look when once we heed your call to live according to your word, to live in that Torah, to rejoice in the words as the psalmist does, realizing that the words of God really are loaded with blessing, even when they're tough. But if forgetful, we should find your yoke is hard to bear, and so often we will, because, of course, we're going to be carrying crosses. If worldly pressures fray the mind and love itself cannot unwind its tangled skein of care, that is, if we look at our situation and we're oppressed by the world, the pressures around us, the crosses that we are to bear, the sin of our own making, the mess that we make of things, and we pray, our inward life, Lord, repair. Verse 3, we marvel how your saints become in hindrances more sure. What does that mean? It means that God's saints, as we look back and see them, when they face these tough times, the hard times of discipleship, somehow, remarkably, they become more sure, whose joyful virtues put to shame the casual way we wear your name. The saints that we look back on as wonderful examples, like those that we saw several weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 11, with joyful virtues. That is to say, they realize the great joy of doing, for example, what Paul calls Philemon to do, to receive back his former slave as a brother. It's a joy to do that. It's a joy to be in the Torah. It's a joy to be about God's business. The casual way we wear your name, by contrast, the cross you hung upon, and this is the most important part of the entire hymn, may we not cease to look to you, the cross you hung upon, all you endeavored done. The cross of Jesus Christ is, of course, the ultimate example of the tough, tough discipleship. Jesus taking up the cross, we take up the cross also, but all you endeavored done, that's a reference, of course, to Jesus' words, it is finished. And when we realize that what Christ did on the cross has finished the job of reconciling us to God, then we can take heart that even when we take that long look at discipleship and see that it's really hard, not always delightful, it nevertheless is always blessed. Because reconciled to God by Jesus' death on the cross, we always stand in his blessing.
So with about 30 seconds here, it sounds as though bringing this all together, the cost of discipleship that Jesus, as you say, has urged us to take a look at here, to consider deeply, must always be understood in the cost that he expended to procure us as disciples. The
exactly.
Ultimate cost, the cost that it is to us, not only pales by comparison, but becomes a participation in
exactly.
His crucifixion.
Christ has paid the entire price. There is no discipleship apart from Christ bringing us to be his disciples. And that's why, even when it's tough, even when those days are very, very difficult, we realize we still stand blessed. Again, when Christ has reconciled us by his death on the cross, reconciled us to God, then we are never outside his blessing. Christ is the one who paid the cost. And our following in Jesus' discipleship really is participation in what he has already done for us.
Dr. Carl Fekencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd. Always a pleasure.
You have 1 week left to order an audio DVD from this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The DVD includes Dr. Fekencher's teaching, Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching. We'll send you a conference audio DVD for a suggested contribution of $300 by Labor Day. You can order by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Be sure to add audio DVD in the memo line of your check. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also order online at our website, issuesetc.org. There are more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing on the audio DVD from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain about the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the 12 spies in Canaan. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. And Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.